joined by Colleague Racing President Chris Rice midweek before we hop into the Roval this weekend. Chris, first off, how are you and how's the week going so far?
The week is great, but I always have this question when we do Zoom. So I'm really curious what you do. Do you look at yourself on a Zoom or do you look at me on a Zoom? Which one do you look at? Because like when I'm doing all these Zooms, I don't know which one to look at. Like, do I look at you or do I look at myself?
So eventually I get scared and don't know where to look. So I look at my other computer monitor and just pretend I'm looking. So that way I'm not awkwardly staring in between like the little picture of my face up top or like you down at the bottom. It's weird.
It was a weird question, but yeah. I wonder.
It's a fair point. And usually like when I have a co-host who hopefully is joining us in a few minutes and we try to communicate with each other, like when a guest is on, like, okay, it's your turn to ask a question. It's like, now I have to look because we have to do like hand signals. So we're like sneakily being like, okay, it's your turn to ask a question now. It's very weird. I've never thought of it before until you said that. But yes, I have another computer monitor to my right here that like the news is just kind of scrolling through right now. And I will look at that to kind of like readjust my eyes every once in a while.
Okay. I look at myself, you know, I like, I was telling Skylar, you know, the lady you worked with that, man, I look really old when I pick these Zooms up. So I was trying to change my camera stuff before you got on here, but no, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, man. No problem. No problem at all. So you have a pretty interesting kind of your background in racing, your family, you got started in, you know, a couple decades ago. You started as a gas man in the late 80s, I believe. So I was curious, how did your family decide, you know, many years ago to, you know, get involved in racing? And, you know, can you talk us through the path of being a gas man to, you know, now being a team president?
Yeah, I mean, my dad, I was talking to him about this the other day. I went up there and took him and my mom to lunch, and he had a, I don't know, 69 Chevelle or something, and he actually wrecked it. And we went down the road that he wrecked it on, and he said, I'm like, well, was you racing? He said, oh, yeah, I was racing. So he loved speed, my dad did. And then my uncle, my late uncle Earl, was a he was the driver. He wasn't a mechanic. He was a driver. My dad worked as a mechanic in his professional job. So then, you know, we went to work for Jeff Burton back in, they had their own race car in the early 80s. And when I was a young kid, I think I was six when they had their own race car. And, you know, I mean, I don't know much about racing then, but I would always go to racetracks. I'd always work on them late at night with those guys. My dad let me stay up. And then my dad and uncle went to work for Jeff Burton and his late model. And then we were my dad was a crew chief on Jeff Burton's first Xfinity cars, Busch cars back then. And I was the gas man at the age of 14. I was a big guy, 300 and I don't know, some pounds and just a really big guy. So I was a gas man and I grew up really fast. You know, at 14 years old, you're hanging around a bunch of 35, 45, 50-year-old guys. You gotta grow up pretty fast. So I grew up fast. I played football in high school, but realized that racing was where I wanted to be. NASCAR is where I wanted to be. And so I just went to work. Jeff went on to be with Sam Ard. I went on to be with Elliott and Hermie Sadler. I finished my high school education, then went and got my college education, along with traveling with Hermie Sadler. And we won the Rookie of the Year his first year in Busch, and then went and crew chief Elliott Sadler for quite a while. And then he went on to Diamond Ridge after we won a bunch of races back in the day. And then, man, I was with Petty's for a long time. Then I was with Bill Davis for a long time. And I learned the sport from the bottom up. I feel like, you know, I was telling one of my managers today, we have meetings every day. And I always heard the statement, you have meetings to have a meeting. And I understand why now. it's because you have so many managers, right? Like, you got to have a meeting with the manager so they can have a meeting with the people. Sure. And I started from the bottom. You know, I was a shot guy, became a crew chief. Buckshot Jones gave me a big, big break back in the day. We'll always love Buckshot Jones for that. And Elliott and Hermie Sadler gave me a big break back in the day. So, you know, and then Matt Collett come into my life about 8 years ago, 9 years ago now, actually 9 years ago now. We started a race team 8 years ago and was fortunate enough to have people like Blake Cook behind and make things happen. And then, you know, Ryan Truex has been through here and Justin Haley and Daniel Hemric and everybody knows AJ Allmendinger is still here and been here and won a lot of races. So started as a young kid and just, man, I worked. I just kept working even when I didn't think it was going to work out. I just kept going as hard as I could and believing that the next day would be better. And I do a lot of I try to do a lot of motivational speaking to different people, different things, and that's what I talk about believing. You got to believe that you can make it happen. And Elon football is one of the ones I do it every year, and they're playing very well this year. So every week I send the coach believe. That's all I send him is believe. So I just kept believing, and here we are, you know. And I think I've got a lot of tomatoes thrown at me, I guess, this year about
Sure.
the decisions we're making. You know, with Daniel Hemric going into 31 car and some different things that we're doing with that program, but it's a bigger thing than what people see for 24. 24 is going to be a little bit different year for college racing because it's something we're working on for 24, 25, 26, 27. It's not just 24. We're not just looking at 24. So, you know, we got to work really hard in 24 to make those other 5 or 6 years work.
So when you inevitably read the comments on social media or wherever, no matter how ridiculous and unfounded they may be, how do you ignore that and go, to the team, to the drivers, whoever, who might be like, hey, I just saw this said about me. Like, hey, we have a plan, we know what we're doing. We're looking, not only to next year, but to the future, and block all of that, unnecessary noise out.
Well, it would be easy not to be on social media as president, right? Like, you know, I could easily just shut it off and say and just do our deal because the corporate America, you don't have to do that. But I do it because I love race fans and I love the ones that don't like me. I do. I probably love those more than the ones that do like me. And it's I have to think about it this way. You know, they don't know the backstory. I was telling one of our employees just a second ago when I swept the floors and I was a shop guy, I didn't understand the moves that companies made because I didn't understand all the behind the scene things that goes on. As you build a company, and Richard Childress has told me since day one and has been very good to me from day one, talking to me and helping me and making sure that we didn't make crazy moves. You know, you make decisions for your company. You don't make decisions because of your heart. You make decisions for your company. So the people that are making those comments, they don't know, man. They don't, they're sitting at home wishing. It's what I call a wish tweet or a wish Facebook message or a wish this. You know, I mean, everybody wishes that we could keep every single driver their entire career. Sometimes that just doesn't happen, right? Like you know, I would love to sit here and say, hey, Blake Koch was really, really good to me. And some people would say that like, why not Blake Koch? Well, it's not about that. It's about how can you the business side of it and things like that. So still great friends with every driver that's ever been through here, Ross Chastain, Blake, Ryan Truex. Ryan Truex and I probably became better friends this year than we were when he was here, believe it or not. So you know, I call those wish tweets, and I wished I could meet those people in person. And I think if they ever met me in person and shook my hand, they would probably see a different side of Chris Rice than what they see or they do say. I think the worst one I've ever seen is, you know, I always say smile, right? Because I want to smile. I say whatever I say is because of what I want for myself. If you want to look at it, it's up to you. This is, we're in America, right? You're able to, you can look at this stuff, you can do what you want to do, but like I say it for me. And if I can meet somebody and Skylar and my group can tell you this, I am hard on them. But at the end of it, when the conversation is over, they know it's for them. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. But when I say smile, I want it to make an impact on somebody's life. So when they say, I bet Chris Rice is not smiling today because his driver's done X, Y, or Z. You know what? They at least are watching. Dale Earnhardt said, it doesn't matter if they're booing or cheering, as long as they're making noise. Those people are making noise.
Fair enough. I like it. I'm going to go off topic from racing for a quick second. I was doing some research the other day, and you were talking about, you know, your CrossFit program and bringing in the you know, the team, you know, getting the team on a healthier page. And I feel like everybody who's, you know, big into some form of, you know, being at the gym, whether it's CrossFit or powerlifting or whatever, has a favorite workout, like leg day or arm day, or a favorite, you know, deadlift. So what is Chris Rice's favorite, you know, you wake up and you're going, I'm pumped because it's X, Y, and Z day at CrossFit.
I am proud of my health right now.
Yes.
And thank
yes.
you for asking. I love it when people ask that. Celsius has been a big benefit for me to get my fitness going. But my dad has been number one. My dad had triple bypass surgery years ago, and then he had a valve put in also. So I knew that, okay, I could have a heart disease because my dad has it, right? And I was 340 pounds and taking pills to lose weight and doing different things. And I was like, my favorite workout is doing these zone two, zone three workouts to train my heart how to be healthy. And I read about it a lot. And I know that I use a Polar on my for my heart rate. And as the heart rate goes up, how fast it goes down is how healthy your heart is. And I work really hard on that every week. I do a zone two workout. It is guaranteed I do a zone two workout every single week, whether that's riding 20,000 meters on a bike or whether that's running at zone two. That might be a 15-minute mile, but that's a zone two. I do it for at least 45 minutes in a row. And that's tomorrow's workout on my day. Saturday is tomorrow for me. On a Thursday is a Saturday. Yeah. I try to go get my hair cut. I try to do things for around my house. And then normally I'm only at home one day a week. Normally I'm gone 6 days a week, whether I'm at the office or whether I'm at the racetrack. So zone two workout, riding a bike, running, rowing. I'm not a big fan of the row, but I will. And then, you know, what's really impressed me lately is, so I did that upside down pull-ups.
Ooh,
and I posted those quite a bit. I don't know if you've watched them or not, but
I
posted.
It looks painful.
People love them. They absolutely love them. And so I'm working on 30 of those in a row.
Okay.
And you have to be really careful with those because your grips, right? Like you don't want to fall and stuff like that. So I do 10 at a time, and I've really enjoyed those. I've really enjoyed how much people love those and how much they're very impressed by them. And actually, it's come kind of like easy to me because I've been strong that way. I've never been real strong, but this way I've been super strong. So that's been fun. So probably the zone two workout to make my heart stronger and more healthy, healthier. And then the upside down pull-ups have been cool.
Yeah. That is one thing I cannot do, but that's probably because I could get there. I just, that's what I love.
That's what I love about people, because what you just said makes me want to go, you're right. You can't do them because you can't do them from here, but you actually can do them. You actually can go do whatever you want to do. And it's like, I never thought I'd be sitting in an office like this. This is not a fake background. I mean, that's my wife and kids.
Nice.
That's when my daughter got married. Like, I never thought I'd be sitting in an office like this. I have a bar in my office right there, right? Like, it's a bar to entertain people, and it's a fireplace here. Right on the corner is a shower, because if I work out here, I want to take a shower. I'm a clean freak. We never thought so, because of this. I didn't think so. But now, being Matt colleague and doing that, we can do anything we want to do. I took Skylar, and I know you can't see her, right out of college. She was my, fortunate enough, her and my daughter roomed together, and I knew her like that. But she walked into her NASCAR team because she wanted to be in NASCAR, but she didn't know what to do. And a couple of years, 3 years now, 2 years now, has took AJ under her wing and literally made him appreciate her. And because it's hard. I love AJ to death, but it is super hard with AJ Allmendinger for him to even let you in his fold. And he's let Skylar. So, but she believed. And that's what you got to do. You can believe that you can do the upside down pull-ups.
I am going to tell my trainer that in about 4.5 hours from now when I'm working out, but I will send her this link. I know she doesn't usually listen, 'cause I don't think she knows really what racing is, but I have tried for a year at this point to get her to watch, but I will definitely get her to listen to this at least. But speaking of Mr. Allmendinger and On track record speaks for itself. But is there something, since you started working with him over the last couple of years that maybe you didn't expect, quirky personality, something that you didn't see just from, being around the track for so many years before you actually started working with him?
Super easy and it's super quick. How much he loves his people. I didn't expect that at all. I thought he was going to be completely, hard on them and buttholes. And he actually loves his people a lot. Like he's passionate about what he does and he wants to win and he wants to do whatever it takes to win, but he absolutely loves his people.
All right, I'm going to go back off racing here and I need to pull out my phone for this question to get it ready. So this is something we do with most guests who work in racing. Usually it's drivers, but since you're a gym guy, we're going to add a song that you want to listen to our Pit Lane Parlay Spotify drivers playlist. Any song that you like, we're going to add it to the playlist. And
what's so funny? I have a couple, but like everybody asks me, what do you listen to when you work out? Well, lately I've been listening to country because I have a lot of country friends and I have a lot of people. But if I had to add a song to the playlist, because nobody would ever do this, it would be the Humpty Dance, right? Because that's the era I grew up in. It would literally be the Humpty Dance, and I absolutely love it. And it's something that makes people smile is the Humpty Dance. I remember being I was massive big guy in high school. And we would have these, they'd have these parties. And I'd go to them, because I was the life of the party. I enjoyed them. I had fun. And the Humpty Dance would come on. I'd be sweating and, doing all that. So that's a fun song of mine.
All right, I got it. It's added on there. This playlist has the most ridiculous, I say this like every time I ask somebody to add a song on there, but there is everything now from the Humpty Dance to strange rap music that I don't understand what's going on to heavy metal and everything in between. So it's been a fun journey that started, I think, during COVID at some point. But so one thing that we talked about, since this is coming out after the schedule announcement, I'm going to ask anyway. We talked about, before we hit record, that Watkins Glen will be likely in one of the rounds of the playoffs for NASCAR in 2024. Curious as your thoughts to adding, one of the more iconic racetracks in America to the NASCAR playoff schedule.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
I think with us going back to stage breaks, Watkins Glen was a great choice. It is a time of the year in New York up there that is absolutely beautiful. Forget the racing. Okay, I would say Watkins Glen would probably be one of the top lists. But if somebody's never been to Watkins Glen, to at least go there, see the Finger Lakes, enjoy that little town, and spend some time at Watkins Glen, because it is absolutely amazing in that area. To me, that's to me. I love it. I think Watkins Glen is a racetrack. They do a fantastic job with the fans and how the racing is. And I think the racetrack is getting to a point to where it's starting to wear out a little bit. So it's getting, it's fun to watch. I know this past year was not as best the year because we didn't have stage breaks. Everybody done the same stat strategy. You didn't have to worry about points. Throwing in, if it is in the playoffs, which we speculate that it is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
if you throw in that you got to get points and you don't need points or you're locked in or something like that, it's going to change up how the race is run for every single person. So I enjoy that Ben Kennedy and everybody in the group is looking at that. They're not just looking at, you know, what's good for them. They're looking at what's good for the race fan. Okay. And that's what I love, because I do love race fans. I say it on everything I talk about. If we don't have the race fans, we don't do this.
Sure.
So my opinion, if our speculation, mine and your speculation, is correct and they're in the playoffs, I'm super excited about it for the race fan mainly, but more so that you can do a lot of different things at a road course, and it gives somebody that wouldn't have a chance to win a race.
Yeah, we went up to Watkins Glen for IMSA in the end of June. That was the first time I've been there in my life. And the town was awesome. The views were amazing. The track was super cool. I'm excited to go back again next year for sure. I have one last question for you. I know you've got a busy day, so we'll let you get back to meetings and you know, whatever workout you have later today. But there's been a lot.
I already did it at 5 o'clock this morning.
See, you're better than me. I like working out between about 5 and 8 o'clock. Like the morning workouts, I can do them if I need to, but they're always my worst workouts.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta get it done so I can come in here and aggravate everybody else.
You know, there's been a lot of changes in NASCAR over the last couple of years. New car, you know, obviously kind of taking the stage breaks out of the road courses, adding them back in. Obviously, safety improvements, schedule improvements, the Chicago race. How do you feel about the next couple of years of NASCAR and, you know, the path that it's, you know, headed on over the last couple of years?
Well, I'll say this, and this is coming from a guy that has been in NASCAR since I started traveling in 1989.
Yeah.
This is the first time that I've seen NASCAR, and I don't remember when I was young because I don't remember that side of it, but I since the 2000s of us really adjusting and really trying to get the new fan. And I think that's what we have to do. We're trying to drag a fan from Chicago to Talladega. I don't know if you know the difference between Chicago and Talladega, but it is a massive difference from the city to Talladega Boulevard. I'm just sorry. It really is. That's what it is. So I'm super excited that Ben Kennedy decided not to drive and to get into the business side of the sport and start working on getting new fans, because I'm gonna pass away. I'm not gonna be able to travel forever. I'm not gonna be able to watch races forever. I'm not gonna go spend money at, you know, Walmart to buy a Circle water bottle. I'm gonna go away. But we have these young guys like yourself that absolutely love racing now. Like you love racing, and you just told me before this, you're a digital content guy. You're the guy that does some stuff that is weird to me, right? Like, I don't understand it. That's the fan we need. That's somebody we need. I'm super excited, if you can't tell. I can't wait till the charter stuff comes out so everybody can let that be behind them, and we can move on with making the sport great, right? Like, and that's what we need to do. So I'm excited. Very proud that Matt Colick decided to own a race team and own a couple of charters in NASCAR. I look forward to not just 24, what happens for Colick Racing in the next 5-6 years. It will not make much sense in 24, but when it comes out the other end, everybody will understand it.
I love it. Well, listen, best of luck the rest of this year. We'll see you at the track in Daytona in February, and you know, enjoy the off season or whatever break you're able to take in, you know, in December and January.
Same with you. And I appreciate it as always. Thank all the race fans that listen to this, and until next time, make sure you're smiling.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good one. Thank you.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform, or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at HitPass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.